Matthew chapter 4 verses 12 to 25. Matthew chapter 4 verses 12 to 25. Now when he heard that John had been arrested, he withdrew into Galilee. And leaving Nazareth, he went and lived in Capernaum by the sea, in the territory of Zebulun and Naphtali, so that what was spoken by the prophet Isaiah might be fulfilled. The land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, the way of the sea beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people dwelling in darkness have seen a great light, and for those dwelling in the region and shadow of death, on them a light has dawned. From that time, Jesus began to preach, saying, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." While walking by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And he said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." Immediately they left their nets and followed him. And going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, in the boat with Zebedee, their father, mending their nets, and he called them. Immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him. And he went throughout all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every disease and every affliction among the people. So his fame spread throughout all Syria, and they brought him all the sick, those afflicted with various diseases and pains, those oppressed by demons, those having seizures and paralytics, and he healed them. And great crowds followed him from Galilee and the Decapolis, and from Jerusalem and Judea, and from beyond the Jordan. Now we said in our last study that in Matthew chapter 3 and Matthew chapter 4, Matthew collects the testimonies of five witnesses to the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Five witnesses to the person of Jesus, that he is the Son of God and that he is the King. The first witness is the witness of John the Baptizer in Matthew chapter 3 verses 1 to 15. And then the witness of the Holy Spirit, Matthew chapter 3 verse 16. Then the witness of God the Father, Matthew chapter 3 verse 17. Then the witness of Satan in Matthew chapter 4 verses 1 to 11. And finally, the witness of the power of Christ's ministry in Matthew chapter 4 verses 12 to 25. Now we have looked at four of those witnesses in our previous studies. And today we will consider the witness of the power of Christ's ministry, Matthew chapter 4. Verses 12 to 25. Matthew has already shown us that every detail of the life of our Lord Jesus Christ was controlled by the Word of God. We must also remember that between the end of Christ's temptation and that statement in Matthew chapter 4 verse 12, between the end of Christ's temptation and the statement in Matthew chapter 4 verse 12 comes the ministry described in John chapter 1 verse 29, right through to John chapter 3 verse 36. So we must not think that John the Baptizer was thrown into prison immediately after the temptation of Jesus. In Matthew chapter 4 verse 12, "Now when he heard that John had been arrested, he withdrew into Galilee." Now let's read John 1 29. John 1 29. "The next day he saw Jesus coming toward him and said, 'Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world.'" And then let's read John chapter 3 verse 36. "Whoever believes in the Son has eternal life. Whoever does not obey the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God remains on him." So between the end of Christ's temptation and that statement in Matthew chapter 4 verse 12 comes the ministry described in John 1 29 right up to John chapter 3 verse 36. So it will be good that you go through those portions of scripture in John, in the Gospel of John, to get the context and the right perspective. Matthew wrote his book topically, not chronologically. So it's important to consult a good harmony of the Gospels to study the sequence of events. And if you have a good study Bible like the ESV Study Bible or the New King James Version Study Bible, If you go to these Bibles, you will find a good harmony of the Gospels, and that will help you to study the sequence of the events that have taken place. In Matthew chapter 4, verse 16, Matthew quotes Isaiah, Isaiah chapter 9, verses 1 to 2. I read again Matthew chapter 4, verse 16. The people dwelling in darkness have seen a great light, and for those dwelling in the region and shadow of death, on them a light has dawned. Let's read Isaiah, Isaiah chapter 9, verses 1 to 2. But there will be no gloom for her. There will be no gloom for her who was in anguish. In the former time, he brought into contempt the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali. But in the latter time, he has made glorious the way of the sea, the land beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the nations. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in a land of deep darkness, on them has light shone. The prophet Isaiah wrote about people who walked in darkness and then dwelt in a land of deep darkness. Isaiah chapter 9 verse 2. But by the time Matthew quotes this passage, the people were not just walking in darkness, they were sitting or dwelling in darkness. And the ESV says that. The people dwelling in darkness. So, first they were walking in darkness, but then by the time Matthew records this statement, they were dwelling in darkness. But Jesus Christ brought the light to them. He makes his headquarters in Capernaum, in Galilee of the Gentiles, or Galilee of the nations. Now Galilee was divided into two parts, Upper Galilee and Lower Galilee. The boundary that divided the two parts was roughly in an east-west line through the Sea of Galilee. The upper or the northern part was called Galilee of the Nations or Galilee of the Gentiles, because this was where Gentile invaders first entered Israel. And for an example of that, you can read in Jeremiah, Jeremiah chapter 1 verses 13 to 15. The word of the Lord came to me a second time saying, "What do you see?" And I said, "I see a boiling pot facing away from the north." Then the Lord said to me, "Out of the north disaster shall be let loose upon all the inhabitants of the land. For behold, I am calling all the tribes of the kingdoms of the north, declares the Lord, and they shall come, and every one shall set his throne at the entrance of the gates of Jerusalem, against all its walls all around, and against all the cities of Judah." So, Gentile influence was felt strongly in Upper Galilee. And at the time of Christ, there were also Egyptians and Arabians and Phoenicians living there in Upper Galilee. And the Gentiles influenced the Israelites in various ways, including their speech. In fact, this was how Peter was identified later on by the bystanders who provoked him, and he denied Christ. In Matthew chapter 26, verse 73. Matthew 26, verse 73. After a little while, the bystanders came up and said to Peter, "Certainly you too are one of them, for your accent betrays you." In Luke chapter 22, verses 59 to 60. Luke 22, verses 59 to 60. And after an interval of about an hour, still another insisted, saying, "Certainly this man also was with him, for he too is a Galilean." Your accent betrays you. He too is a Galilean. But Peter said, "Man, I do not know what you are talking about." And immediately while he was still speaking, the rooster crowed. The Galileans were not held in high regard by those in Judea, southern Israel. But Matthew chapter 4 verse 16 is another reference to the universal outreach of the message of the gospel. In Galilee, they were a mixed population that was despised by the racially pure Jewish citizens of Judea. But how did Jesus bring this light to Galilee? How did Jesus bring this light to Galilee? We are told in Matthew chapter 4 verse 23 that Jesus brought this light to Galilee through his teaching, through his preaching and healing ministry. Matthew chapter 4 verse 23. And he went throughout all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and healing every disease and every affliction among the people. Now this emphasis on healing is found so many times in the gospel of Matthew. Matthew chapter 8 verses 16 to 17. Matthew chapter 8 verses 16 to 17. That evening they brought to him many who were oppressed by demons, and he cast out the spirits with a word and healed all who were sick. This was to fulfill what was spoken by the prophet Isaiah. He took our illnesses and bore our diseases. Verse 17 here is a direct reference to Isaiah chapter 53 verses 4 to 5. Surely he has borne our griefs, our sicknesses, our illnesses, and carried our sorrows. Sorrows there actually means pain, pains. Surely he has borne our griefs, sicknesses, and carried our sorrows, pains. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten, or struck down by God and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace, and with his wounds, the blows that cut him, we are healed. And this is why I strongly believe that there is healing in the atonement. Because Matthew testifies to this truth in Matthew chapter 8 verse 17. And that cannot be denied. This was to fulfill what was spoken by the prophet Isaiah. He took our illnesses and bore our diseases. Matthew chapter 8 verse 17. So the ministry of Christ involved preaching, teaching and healing. Matthew chapter 9 verse 35. And Jesus went throughout all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and healing every disease and every affliction. When John the Baptizer sent his disciples to Christ asking him, in Matthew chapter 11 verses 2 to 5 we read, Matthew 11 verses 2 to 5, now when John heard in prison about the deeds of the Christ, he sent word by his disciples and said to him, are you the one who is to come, or shall we look for another? And Jesus answered them, go and tell John what you hear and see. The blind receive their sight, and the lame walk, lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear, and the dead are raised up, and the poor have good news preached to them. Again in Matthew chapter 12, verses 14 to 15. But the Pharisees went out and conspired against him, how to destroy him. Jesus, aware of this, withdrew from there, and many followed him, and he healed them all. Again in Matthew chapter 14, verses 34 to 36. And when they had crossed over, they came to land at Gennesaret. And when the men of that place recognized him, they sent around to all that region and brought to him all who were sick and implored him that they might only touch the fringe of his garment, and as many as touched it were made well. Matthew chapter 15 verse 30. And great crowds came to him, bringing with them the lame, the blind, the crippled, the mute, and many others, and they put them at his feet and he healed them. Matthew chapter 19 verses 1 and 2. Now when Jesus had finished these sayings, he went away from Galilee and entered the region of Judea beyond the Jordan. And large crowds followed him, and he healed them there. So Matthew was quite clear that he healed all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. Matthew chapter 4 verse 23. That means there was no case too difficult for him. It was true of him then, and it is still true of him today. In the book of Hebrews chapter 13 verse 8 we read, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today and forever. The result of these great miracles was there was a tremendous fame for Jesus. So a great following of people came from many parts of the land. Matthew chapter 4 verses 24 to 25. Matthew 4, 24 to 25. So his fame spread throughout all Syria, and they brought him all the sick, those afflicted with various diseases and pains, those oppressed by demons, those having seizures and paralytics, and he healed them. And great crowds followed him from Galilee and the Decapolis
and from Jerusalem and Judea and from beyond the Jordan. Now Syria refers to an area in the northern Galilee. Decapolis means 10 cities, and it was a district made up of 10 cities originally built by the followers of Alexander the Great. The Decapolis was in the northeastern part of Galilee. Beyond Jordan means Perea, the area east of the Jordan. So news traveled very fast. The afflicted ones came, and they came along with their families and others who were afflicted, and they brought them all to Jesus for healing. And Matthew listed some of the cases. In Matthew chapter 4 verse 24, the King James Version says, diseases and torments. Now this could cover almost any disease. Of course, our Lord often delivered people from demons, those oppressed by demons. The King James uses the words, and those which were lunatic. And this term lunatic did not refer to people who were insane. It described people who were epileptic, those who were afflicted with epilepsy. The ESV says those having seizures. In Matthew 17 verse 15, the King James Version, we read, Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is lunatic and so vexed, for oft times he falleth into the fire and often into the water. The ESV gives the right meaning of that verse in Matthew chapter 17 verses 14 to 15. And when they came to the crowd, a man came up to him and kneeling before him and said, Lord, have mercy on my son, for he has seizures and he suffers terribly, for often he falls into the fire and often into the water. Then you have the word palsy in the King James Version, which actually means paralytic. So miracles of healing were a dominant part of the ministry of our Lord Jesus Christ throughout Galilee. At the same time, he also taught and preached the word. So preaching, teaching, and healing, that was the ministry. And he has told us to do the same in commanding us to take the gospel to the nations. In Mark chapter 16 verses 15 to 18, he says, Mark chapter 16 verses 15 to 18, and he said to them, go into all the world and proclaim the gospel to the whole creation. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will accompany those who believe. In my name, they will cast out demons, they will speak in new tongues, they will pick up serpents with their hands, and if they drink any deadly poison, it will not hurt them. They will lay their hands on the sick, and they will recover. Matthew chapter 4 verse 16. The people dwelling in darkness have seen a great light, and for those dwelling in the region and shadow of death, on them a light has dawned. The light that Isaiah promised in Isaiah chapter 9 verse 2, and which Matthew quotes here, was the light of the word of God. It was also the light of his perfect life and his compassionate ministry of healing. You see, Jesus saw the need of people, and so many sick people that he saw, and he knew their need, and he met them at their point of need. He knew perfectly well about the misery of sickness, the misery of sickness which has its roots in the fall of man. And in his ministry, therefore, he ministered to the sick. He delivered them from their sicknesses. So we too must do the same. The word preach in Matthew chapter 4 verse 17 and Matthew chapter 4 verse 23, the word preach, it means to announce as a herald. So Jesus proclaimed with authority the good news that the kingdom of heaven was at hand. The phrase kingdom of heaven, that is found 32 times in Matthew's gospel. The phrase kingdom of God is found only 5 times. Matthew chapter 6 verse 33. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Again in Matthew 12 and verse 28. But if it is by the Spirit of God that I cast out demons, then the kingdom of God has come upon you. Matthew chapter 19 verse 24. Again I tell you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich person to enter the kingdom of God. Matthew 21 verse 31. Which of the two did the will of his father? They said the first. Jesus said to them, "Truly I say to you, the tax collectors and the prostitutes go into the kingdom of God before you." And in Matthew chapter 21, verse 43, Matthew 21, verse 43, "Therefore I tell you, the kingdom of God will be taken away from you and given to a people producing its fruits." Both the phrases, kingdom of God and kingdom of heaven, they mean the same. Then why was the phrase kingdom of heaven used more often than the phrase kingdom of God? Out of reverence for the holy name of the Lord, Yahweh, the Jews would not mention that name, God, but they would substitute that word with heaven. The prodigal son, he confessed that he had sinned against heaven, meaning, of course, that he had sinned against God. Luke chapter 15, verse 18 to 19. Luke 15, verses 18 to 19. "I will arise and go to my father, and I will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Treat me as one of your hired servants." In many places where Matthew uses kingdom of heaven, the parallel passages that you find in Mark and Luke, they use the phrase kingdom of God. So both kingdom of heaven and kingdom of God are one and the same. In the New Testament, the word kingdom means rule, reign, authority, rather than a place or a specific realm. The phrase kingdom of heaven refers to the rule of God. The Jewish leaders wanted a political leader who would deliver them from Rome and give them a kingdom, a physical kingdom. But Jesus came to bring spiritual rule to the hearts of people. Now, this does not deny the reality of a future kingdom. And all of us who know Christ as Savior and Lord, we mentioned this earlier, Christ will rule on earth for 1,000 years, and we who belong to him, we will reign with him. Revelation chapter 20, verse 4. "Then I saw thrones, and seated on them were those to whom the authority to judge was committed. Also I saw the souls of those who had been beheaded for the testimony of Jesus and for the word of God, and those who had not worshipped the beast or its image and had not received its mark on their foreheads or their hands. They came to life and reigned with Christ for 1,000 years. But Jesus not only healed the sick, proclaimed the good news, and taught the people God's truth, he also called to himself, a few disciples whom he could train for the work of the kingdom. In Matthew chapter 4, verses 17 to 22, we have read that passage. We read of the call of Peter, Andrew, James, and John. We have read the passage in the beginning. These were men who had already met Jesus, and they had already trusted in Jesus. And we read of this in John chapter 1, verses 29 to 42. But what had happened? They had gone back to their fishing business. So now Jesus comes and he calls them to give up their business and follow him. And the details of this call is found in Luke chapter 5. Luke chapter 5, verses 1 to 11. On one occasion, while the crowd was pressing in on him to hear the word of God, he was standing by the lake of Gennesaret. And he saw two boats by the lake, but the fishermen had gone out of them and were washing their nets. Getting into one of the boats, which was Simon's, he asked him to put out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people from the boat. And when he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch." And Simon answered, "Master, we toiled all night and took nothing, but at your word I let down the nets." And when they had done this, they enclosed a large number of fish, and their nets were breaking. They signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them, and they came and filled both the boats so that they began to sink. But when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." For he and all who were with him were astonished at the catch of fish that they had taken. And so also were James and John, sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. And Jesus said to Simon, "Do not be afraid. From now on, you will be catching men." And when they had brought their boats to land, they left everything and followed him. We can also find this account in Mark chapter 1 verses 16 to 20. That miracle of the catch of fish convinced Peter of who Jesus is and the other three disciples too. They leave all and they follow him. Matthew chapter 4 verse 19. And he said to them, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. Now this term, fishers of men, is one of the many pictures of evangelism in the Bible. When I worked in the engine room on the ship MV Dulos, the mission ship, I worked in that ship in 1987. We had one day every week designated as the day of fishing. And we used that term during that time because we were in Malaysia. The ship was docked in many of the ports in Malaysia. And that was a Muslim country. So we referred to that day as the day of fishing. You find that Jesus also talked about the shepherd seeking the lost sheep. That's another phrase. Shepherd seeking the lost sheep. Luke chapter 15 verses 1 to 7. Just like fishers of men. Then Jesus also spoke about workers in the harvest field. John chapter 4 verses 34 to 38. So term it what you want. Fishing for men, seeking lost sheep, or workers in the harvest field. The important thing is to get the job done. The terminology that you use is not what matters. What matters is that souls be won to Christ. Today, we have so much of training in evangelism and discipleship, and yet we are still 2% believers, or maybe 6% believers in Christ in this nation. Now my question is very simple. Why is this so? I believe it is because we have failed to follow Christ and his pattern of ministry. We have failed to intercede for the people of our nation as we should have. Remember that Christ was in the wilderness. He was fasting and praying, obviously, for 40 days and 40 nights in the wilderness before he entered into the ministry. We have failed to pray. We have failed to follow Christ in his pattern of ministry. We have failed to intercede for the people of our nation as we should have. We have failed to seek God and obey him as we should have. We have to be his witnesses. And that's where we have failed also. We have failed to depend on the Holy Spirit as we should have. And we should have been led by him into his work. Acts chapter 1 verse 8. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. We have failed to obey the great commission in reaching the lost in our nation to Christ. Matthew chapter 28 verses 18 to 20. Let's acknowledge these failures. My friends, you and I, we are guilty of this. Matthew 28 verses 18 to 20. We have failed to obey this commission. Matthew 28 verses 18 to 20. And Jesus came and said to them, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. I believe that God is giving us one more chance to proclaim this glorious gospel across the nations. And I've been saying this over and over again during this time of the pandemic. He is purifying and building his church globally for a revival. And we as his church must be in step with what he wants us to do in this great commission. We must therefore repent of our own sins and get ready for this work that he is calling us to do. In 2 Chronicles chapter 7 verse 13 and 14, we often quote 14, verse 14, but let's read 13 and 14. 2 Chronicles chapter 7 verses 13 and 14. When I shut up the heavens so that there is no rain, or command the locusts to devour the land, or send pestilence among my people. And you and I know that this is a pestilence. This pandemic is a pestilence. And then verse 14 says, if my people who are called by my name humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. I believe in the proclamation of the authentic gospel under the anointing of the Holy Spirit as revealed to us in the scriptures, accompanied by signs and wonders to win the lost world to Christ. And I believe every word of that. And that's why I put that on the screen. Souls will be saved. And God will authenticate this message of the gospel by signs and wonders once again. And there will be a great revival across the land. The Apostle Paul tells us in the book of Romans chapter 15 verses 18 to 19. For I will not venture to speak of anything except what Christ has accomplished through me to bring the Gentiles to obedience by word and deed, by the power of signs and wonders, by the power of the Spirit of God, so that from Jerusalem and all the way around to Illyricum, I have fulfilled the ministry of the gospel of Christ. And that ministry involves preaching and teaching and healing. 1 Corinthians chapter 4 verse 20. For the kingdom of God does not consist in talk, but in power. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 verses 23 and 24. But we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews and folly to Gentiles. But to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. Romans 1 verse 16. For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. The word for power there in Greek is dunamis. And we all know that dunamis, the word dynamite comes from that word dunamis. Dynamo comes from the same word, dunamis. Romans chapter 14 verse 17. For the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but of righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. Remember what was said in Jerusalem, in the council in Jerusalem, in Acts chapter 15. Acts chapter 15 verses 11 to 12. But we believe that we will be saved through the grace of the Lord Jesus, just as they will. And all the assembly fell silent, and they listened to Barnabas and Paul as they related what signs and wonders God had done through them among the Gentiles. Again, Acts chapter 19 verses 11 and 12. And God was doing extraordinary miracles by the hands of Paul, so that even handkerchiefs or aprons that had touched his skin were carried away to the sick, and their diseases left them, and the evil spirits came out of them. So please don't believe that signs and wonders have ceased. And please don't believe that the gifts of the Holy Spirit have ceased. That kind of wrong teaching, I believe, has been one of the main reasons of the failure of the proclamation of the authentic gospel, which is to be accomplished by the witness of signs and wonders. Galatians chapter 3 verse 5. You know, many people say all that is over in the gospels. All the four gospels, after that, there's no mention of signs and wonders. Look at Galatians chapter 3 verse 5. Does he who supplies the Spirit to you and works miracles among you do so by works of the law or by hearing with faith? He who supplies the Spirit to you and works miracles among you. Hebrews chapter 2 verses 3 to 4. How shall we escape if we neglect such a great salvation? It was declared at first by the Lord, and it was attested to us by those who heard. While God also bore witness by signs and wonders and various miracles and by gifts of the Holy Spirit distributed according to His will. Now let's come back to fishing terminology. And we'll come back to these four people, Simon, Andrew, James and John. These four men, they were involved in the fishing business. And it was logical for Jesus to use this approach, fishers of men. Jesus had four and possibly even seven men in the band of disciples who were professional fishermen. And we read in John chapter 21 verses 1 to 3. After this, Jesus revealed himself again to the disciples by the Sea of Tiberias. And he revealed himself in this way. Simon Peter, Thomas, called the twin, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two others of his disciples were together. Simon Peter said to them, I am going fishing. They said to him, we will go with you. They went out and got into the boat. But that night they caught nothing. You see, it's when we realize that we can catch nothing in our own strength, that's when he steps in. In John 21 verses 5 to 6, Jesus said to them, children, do you have any fish? They answered him, no. He said to them, cast the net on the right side of the boat and you will find some. So they cast it, and now they were not able to haul it in because of the quantity of fish. Why would Jesus call so many fishermen to his side? I believe the most important reason is this, because fishing demands faith. Fishermen cannot see the fish, and they're not sure that their nets will enclose fish. But they fish in faith. And soul winning requires faith and alertness, or we will fail. Look at what happened to those Galilean fishermen after the outpouring of the Holy Spirit upon their lives. Look at what happened. Acts chapter 2 verses 4 to 7. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues. And the Spirit gave them utterance. Now there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. And at this sound the multitude came together and they were bewildered because each one was hearing them speak in his own language. And they were amazed and astonished, saying, are not all these who are speaking Galileans? Now look at Acts chapter 4 verses 13 to 14. Acts chapter 4 verses 13 to 14. Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were uneducated common men, they were astonished. I read again. Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were uneducated common men, they were astonished and they recognized that they had been with Jesus. But seeing the man who was healed standing beside them, they had nothing to say in opposition. Remember, the one who was standing beside them was the lame beggar who was healed. The authentic presentation of the gospel under the anointing of the Holy Spirit, accompanied by signs and wonders. That is what the world needs to hear and see. The Apostle Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 verses 2 to 5. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 verses 2 to 5. For I decided to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and much trembling. And my speech and my message were not in plausible words of wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, so that your faith might not rest in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Our biggest problem today in much of preaching is focusing on oratory and words and, you know, plausible words of wisdom. Paul says, my speech and my message were not in plausible words of wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, so that your faith might not rest in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. So Matthew has presented to us the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God and King, and he did so recalling five witnesses: John the Baptizer, the Holy Spirit, God the Father, the witness of Satan, and the power of Christ's ministry. Every witness affirms, this is the Son of God, this is the King. So let's bow our heads in worship and prayer to God, the Father, through Jesus Christ, His Son, the King, by the Holy Spirit. Let's pray.